This year, we have two Western Seminary interns working with our office. One is Paige Douglas, who will be introduced at a later chapel service, but the other one is Matt Mulder. Woo, 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 woo. Matt is a first-year student at Western Sem, just graduated from Kelvin College. He is working... Hey! Place of reconciliation here.
Come on.
He is working part-time at Pillar Church right on the corner of 10th and College. Something you need to know about Matt that I've learned lately. Matt likes to dip his pizza in ranch dressing.
Try it.
Go figure.
It's good.
Go figure.
It's real good.
All right, I'm moving off of Matt. Get your Bibles out right now. Turn to them. Get your little smartphone or personal Bible. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Let's get to business here. It's on page 914 of your pew Bible. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Before Matt reads the scripture, listen to these words Jesus borrows from the prophet Isaiah to describe his mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Hear these words from Romans 1, starting at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the degrading of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to degrading passions. Their women exchanged natural intercourse for unnatural. In the same way, also the men, giving up natural intercourse with women, were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind and to things that should not be done. They were filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, craftiness. They are gossips, slanders, God-haters, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, rebellious towards parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. They know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, yet they not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. The word of the Lord.
Keep the Bibles open. Don't shut that Bible or the smartphone. We want to look at this scripture today. This text quickly points us back to Genesis chapter 3, to the fall, to original sin. But also what this text does is highlights both the progressive as well as the cyclical nature of sin. Let me show you what I mean using an old time overhead. That's what I call these, overheads. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this text and we're going to look at the cycle of sin. Hang with me. You got to be fast here. All right. So cycle of sin. We start verse 18. Matt, read verse 18 real quick. Don't go the whole thing. I'll just start it. Suppressed. Hang with me, Matt.
Sorry.
No matter. We start the cycle of sin when we suppress the truth. Look at verse 18.
For the wrath of God.
You don't have to read it.
Okay.
So, suppress the truth. Now listen, When we suppress the truth, thanks, Matt.
No problem.
When we suppress the truth, think about that. That's when we push truth aside or we push truth down. We ignore truth. We silence truth. We dismiss truth. And when we start to do that, we move into the next piece of the cycle. In verse 21, it begins to affect our judgment and our vision. For it says in verse 21, they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. So it starts with suppress the truth. Minds then are darkened. And then from there, when the mind is darkened, it begins then to impact our ability to discern wisely, giving way to distorted or perverted thinking. Verse 25, it says they exchanged the truth of God, for what, Matt?
A lie.
For a lie. Very good. Verse 25. What happens there now, the mind's been darkened, you're distorted in your thinking, your discernment process. It's hard to know what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's a lie. And so when you get to that point, you then, all of a sudden, your thoughts then turn into actions. And we see in verse 29, it says, they were filled with every kind of wickedness. The evil thoughts then to give birth to evil actions. And then the last thing, what happens, which is so sad, is when we get into a place like this, then the very last verse, 32, it says this, not only did they practice these evil things, but they even applauded others. They encourage others into the same sinful cycle. And so it goes back to the beginning again. It's a cycle that both believers and unbelievers get caught in. And when we get caught in it, the sad thing is we're robbed of all the fullness of life that God wants to give us in Jesus. So Matt, how's this text get played out in your life?
Yeah. So even though I was raised a Christian, my whole life I made profession of faith as a punky little seventh grader, I really haven't started living into my identity in Jesus until about the last year and a half. My college years were characterized by questions of who am I and where do I find my worth? My freshman year, I played basketball, so I tried to find my identity in that. That didn't work well because I wasn't very good. After that, I turned to friends in different social circles. Maybe if I run with the right people, I'll be able to find my own identity and some worth. That didn't work either, so I turned to grades. I worked really hard, and I did okay, but I found myself discontent, wondering who I was and what I'm worth. I also found myself stuck in sin, in this cycle of sin. And that sin was caused by the anxiety I had about my discontent with who I was and in my own self-worth. Well, like I said, in the last year and a half, there have been a variety of different people and events that have helped me to understand who I am, that have helped me to understand my true identity. And Paul, I know you remember this event. And maybe some of you do too. It was last October at a gathering. Boris was preaching that night, bringing the word. And he talked about the lies that Satan tries to get you to believe about who you are and what you're worth. And Boris, you challenged us to name those lies. And so I went home that night after the gathering, and I named those lies. And if it's okay, I'd like to share a few of those with you. Perhaps you'll be able to relate. These are the lies. Matt, you're not gifted or talented enough to do anything of true value in this world. Matt, people do not love you for who you are. They like you for what you produce. Hey, Matt, if you let your heart love someone, then there is no doubt that your heart will end up broken. Your love won't be appreciated. Matt, the mistakes you've made and the regrets you have, especially from college, will keep you from doing anything significant in the future. The lies. A few days later, I told my mom about the list of lies I had made. I'm a little bit of a mama's boy, so I probably tell her way too much. But in her wisdom, she said this to me, "Matt, I think it's great that you name those lies. You need to do that. But you need to make sure you put the truth right next to those lies. Because you need to make sure you know the difference between who Satan is telling you are and who Jesus is telling you are." In preparation for this chapel, I looked back in my journal on the lies. To be honest, it was pretty easy for me to remember them. I still struggle with those lies sometimes. But I had forgotten what truth I had written next to those lies. And I'd like you guys to hear the truth I had written. They aren't my words, but they're good words, and they're true. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but I belong. I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He has set me free from the lies of Satan. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's the truth.
Which makes me want to sing a song. You may know it. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoners free. His blood is clean. His blood avails for me. And not only me, not only Matt, but for you, and you, and you, and all of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in that truth.